what's in there. And this morning what we're going to talk about is what is in there and how that will affect the rest of our soul and our body. You guys excited about that? Yes, I'm so glad. Whenever you guys talk and clap and all that, man, I preach so much faster. I already preach fast as it is. But anyway, all right, I'll give you 10 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, here's the deal. When it comes to the Spirit, most people, and especially Christians, like, we don't really understand what's in there. If you weren't told that you even have a Spirit, you wouldn't even know you had one, right? Like, everyone knows that you have a body. Everyone knows you have a soul. If you were to ask them, we're going to go into this a little bit more as we go on. They would say, yeah, okay, I understand that. But when you start talking about the Spirit, people are like, what's that about? We go to movies that there's these weird seances or there's these very strange things that are happening and it's spiritual and everyone's like, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to be a part of that. I don't even know what that looks like. How does that even affect my life? We know as Christians that there is a spirit world, right? But when it comes to what is in that spiritual world and how it affects our life, most of us probably have no clue. At least I didn't. For at least 20 years of being a Christian, I had no idea how the spiritual world affected me and how it would change me and how I was able to tap into what is in the Spirit so that my soul and my body began to see a transformation. Most Christians will go through their whole life not ever knowing what is really a part of their spirit and knowing how to take what's in there and apply it to our life. And so this morning, what I'm really excited about is talking about this very simple and easy concept. But for most of us, it's something that maybe we've heard for the first time, or we've never really heard it this way. We've never heard it explained this way. And so this is the way that it was explained to me, that I finally got it. Okay, because I'm a visual person, so I'm going to have some visual things up here because that helps me get it. You guys ready for that this morning? Okay, so Ephesians 1 verse 3 says this, and I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture this morning, a lot of scripture, so you can take notes. I encourage you just write down where these scripture verses are, and then you can go home and check on what I say, because I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. No pastor is perfect, and not everything we say all the time is 100% perfect. Yeah. Amen? Okay, good. Whew. Thought you guys thought I was perfect. Okay, I know you don't think I'm perfect, but check these out on your own, okay? Check them. Ephesians 1:3 says this. All praise to God. Everyone say, all praise to God. All praise to God. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Now, this is a verse that you probably heard me speak almost every time I get up here because it's really important. If we are united with Christ, there's certain things that come with that. It says spiritual blessings, and not just some spiritual blessing, but what does it say there? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, right? Every. Everyone say every. Every. It's a good word because it means all-encompassing, right? It doesn't mean just some things. It doesn't mean just a few things. It means everything. Everything that is in the spiritual world that is a blessing is now available to you because you are united with Christ. That word united is really cool because it's like the same word that's used in marriage, that we come together and we are united in one as married couples. And so we are literally united with Christ, like in marriage. We become one, right? When I accepted Brittany to be my wife and she accepted me to be her husband, at that point, there was nothing I was going to hold back from her, right? And we're imperfect. We do hold back some things, right? We don't tell everyone. But now, after 8 years of marriage, I pretty much know most things about my wife. She pretty much knows most things about me, right? We divulge and everything is ours, right? It's not just mine. It's not just hers. It's ours. My car is not my car. It's our car, our house, our bank accounts, our emotions sometimes, right? She just lets me into all those emotions. It's ours. You know what I mean? Like, it's the way it is. It's ours. It's together. It's united. The same way when we accept Jesus, he unites with us as one. It It's like this crazy concept. And this morning, for you guys, I need you to understand that that is what takes place. That you are united with Christ, and every spiritual blessing is now available to you. Now, I heard it said this way in a book that Pastor Mark and Sonia and I have read, and this illustration is really cool. He said, hey, imagine this. Imagine, just like in your family, if you were to adopt someone into your family, everything in that house is now available to them, right? They walk in, and if I were to adopt you into my family, just like Joshua and Judah have access to everything, the backyard, the swings, the rooms, even my closet, they go in there and play hide and seek, you know, like they have access to everything, okay? In the same way, if I were to adopt a child, they would have access to everything, but sometimes when we, the family of God, come into our home, God says, okay, this is all available to you, everything, but there's sometimes some rooms that we haven't looked for yet. There's some doors we haven't opened yet. And God said, hey, you have every spiritual blessing. And we're going, yeah, but I just walked in the front door. We haven't searched for it yet. We haven't found it yet. Is it available to us? Absolutely. But we've got to begin to learn about the doors that God has available for us to open. You guys get that? You guys understanding this? Right? We have so much that's available to us, and I don't even think on this earth we're ever going to even tap in to half of what's available to us. Right? Like, it's this process, it's this learning, it's this growing, and it's an amazing thing, but God has so much more for you and for me available, ready in the spirit world. Okay, so we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is kind of where we're going to start with the meat of this. And again, I'm going to read through a lot of scriptures, so you can take notes if you'd like. 1 Corinthians 5:23 says this, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and make your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." So we can see right here from this scripture that we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. All right? Very visual, okay? Here's your body. It's the part of you that you can see in the mirror. Okay? It's a part of you that if you slap, smack, hit, you can feel that. Okay? If I were to ask you right now, how does your body feel? Do you feel hot or do you feel cold? Every woman would be like, I'm so cold. And every man would be like, I'm so hot, right? I'm just kidding. I don't know where you're at. But here's the deal. You would know right away. Are you hot? Are you cold? How are you feeling on your body? Do you have pain, right? Do you have knee pain? Do you have a headache? How do you feel? Or you may go, no, I feel really good. Right? This part of you, your body, you have done a really good job your whole life in learning how that part of you functions. Right? Every single one of us, we know every day because we look in the mirror like, oh yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, this is what I look like. This is really good. Or I need to work a little bit. Okay? That's what we're talking about, body, soul, and spirit. Right? We want to be, as this word says, holy in body, soul, and spirit. How does that work? I'm going to tell you here in a little bit. Okay, so here's the soul of you. This is the part of you that feels emotions. This is your personality, right? Imagine this. If your soul was transplanted out of your body and put in another one, it'd still be you, right? Just a different body. Have an out-of-body experience, right? Like, it's still you. It's your personality. It's the way you think. It's your experiences. It's the way that you feel about things. And again, this part of us, we're really good at knowing how we feel. Some of us men, we're not good at telling you how this feels, okay? But we're really good at knowing. If I were to ask you, are you depressed right now? You could tell me yes or no. If I were to ask you, how did worship make you feel? You'd be able to say, oh, it felt great, Austin, until you hit that wrong note. You know what I mean? Like, you guys would know how you feel. You're supposed to laugh more. Okay. Yeah, okay. So you know these things, right? Your whole life, you have been told how your body is feeling and how your soul is feeling, how you're dealing with life. But this part over here, this is the weird part. This is the spirit. This is the part of us that we cannot feel in the physical realm. We cannot. And like I said earlier, most of us, if no one ever told you you had a spirit, you wouldn't even know it was there. right? That you would have no idea. Wait, I know I can see my body in the mirror. I can see it here, right? I can tell how I'm feeling about things. I know there's something going on in here, but my spirit, what are you talking about, crazy person, right? Like, what are you talking about? Well, here's what the Bible says. It says that we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. John 3:6 says this. Flesh is the word that it's used here. We could say carnality, and I'll explain that here in a second. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. And what Jesus is saying right here is this. This is flesh. Flesh, that word could also be carnal, okay? Carnal just means five senses. So five senses gives birth to five senses, okay? If you want to know how your body is doing, your soul is doing, use your five senses. Does that make sense? But your spirit, that's perceived through the spirit. How do I know what that feels like? How does spirit be perceived through spirit? Because we know that the spirit, because of James 2:26, it says this, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. We know the spirit is the part of us that literally is giving us life. Okay? If you didn't have a spirit, you wouldn't be alive. Now that sounds weird. But what that's telling us is that the spirit part of our body, the spirit part of us, is more real than this. It is what gives us life. That's a weird concept. But literally, if you didn't have a spirit, you wouldn't be alive. Does that make sense? John 6:63 says this. The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. Now this is Jesus speaking. He says, the words that I have spoken to you, they are full of what? Spirit and life. The part of you that gives you life is what Jesus is speaking. Jesus came into the world. What the Jews were expecting of Jesus is for him to change their carnal situation, their body and their soul. They wanted him to come in, take over, set them up and, you know, defeat the Romans, set them up. They were going to be the new kings and queens of the air. They were going to have everything given to them. They were excited about that. But Jesus said, hey, here's the deal. Flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit. And what I'm speaking to you is spirit. The part of you that you don't even understand yet, the part of you that really gives you life, that's the part that I'm speaking to. That's the part that I came to free. That's the part of you that's more real than this part. You guys understanding this? It's making sense, right? I hope it is, or else I'm doing a bad job. Okay, James 1:23 says this. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Now, we're going to stop there for a second. Going back to what Jesus says, he says, hey, the words that I'm giving you, they're spirit and they're life. And then James, he goes, don't merely listen to the word. Now, the word, that word, is the word that's also used to describe Jesus. That word is also used to describe, literally, God's being, who he is. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? The word, that word, is literally the being of God, who he is. That's why we have the Word, the Bible, the Word of God. It's literally him speaking to us, his spirit, just like Jesus did. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Word of God, these things are speaking to us. They're teaching us spirit and life. So James, he says, hey, don't merely just listen to the word, the words of the Spirit, right? And so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. He's saying, hey, if you want to know how your body's doing, look in a mirror, right? Some people, they don't look in the mirrors and they don't know what they look like, and then they walk in the public and you're like, yeah, you might want to look in the mirror. You know what I mean? There's a, you know, my son's hair every morning wakes up, it's like this. It's just like, well, you need to kind of check on what your body looks like right now, because you might need to change some things and rearrange some things, right? Even a bar needs a paint job every once in a while. You know what I'm talking about? You're supposed to laugh. Anyway, so you look in a mirror, right? If you want to know how your body's feeling. Well, what he's saying is this. The exact same way you would look into a mirror to see how your body's doing, you need a mirror to see how your spirit's doing. You know, you've never pulled your eyeballs out of your head and looked at your face, right? You have never seen your face. I can kind of see the tip of my nose right here because I have a big nose that sticks out. So, like, I can see that, right? But I can't turn it around. You've trusted a reflection for how your body and how your face looks. Are you willing to trust a reflection, a mirror, for what is in your spirit? What does he say? The Word of God is like a mirror that is going to show you what's in there. Because you cannot discern what is in your spirit through carnal means. You cannot discern what is in your spirit through feeling what's in your spirit. The Bible says, I have joy. I don't feel like I have joy, but it says it. The Bible says that I can love people, but I do not feel like loving or forgiving right now. But the Bible says it's in my spirit. So what's more real to you? Is your carnal self more real to you, or is your spirit self more real to you? Don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Do what it says. The Bible is a mirror that shows us who we are and what we are in the Spirit. So how does this change? How does this spirit get changed? Let's talk about this real quick. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 18, it says this, therefore, if anyone, say anyone, not some people, anyone, is in Christ, the new creation has come. I like new. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We're about to celebrate Easter. We're about to celebrate what this verse is talking about. Jesus came down from heaven to earth as a physical form. But Jesus lived spirit. He didn't live carnal mind and means. He didn't live in a carnal way. He lived in a way that his spirit was more real to him than his body or his soul. Right? And what he did is he died on a cross. He gave himself for us. He said, I'll be the sacrifice for the sins of the world because they have an eternal problem. See, we couldn't go to heaven through carnal means. You can't be a good enough person to go to heaven. Something had to happen in your spirit, but that's part of us we can't do anything about. Because spirit is spirit and flesh is flesh. You can't in the flesh do things that'll change the spirit. Only God could do that. So God has totally changed you. He totally changed you. He took this, the spirit of death, because we all did have a spirit, right? We did. But he took this spirit of death, and he put in the spirit of life. I wish I had a stapler. I could smack that right there. I meant to bring one up, but I didn't. So imagine that life is sitting there, right? So you and I, what we have is we have the spirit of life, not death. That needs to go down. And we need to understand that we have the spirit of life of Jesus Christ. As Ephesians 1:3 says, we are united with Christ because God changed us. Through what? Through faith. That's what the Bible says. It says, for those, going back, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that who would ever would believe in him would have eternal life. Not anything else that we could do here, but believe. Believe. Have faith. Trust that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of the world, that he is God, and that he died for us, and he rose again, that we would believe that. And it says this, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone believes that, the new creation has come. So there's a new thing that happens to you. That spirit of death is now killed off, and the spirit of life is brought in. That's why we baptize, if you didn't know. Right? When you are baptized, what we're doing is we're doing a physical representation of what happened in your spirit. The moment you accepted Christ, that spiritual man was literally put to death. That spirit of death is in you, the spirit of the world that was in you. And all of a sudden, this new spirit of Christ came out. And it was united with you. And you were transformed. You had this crazy, amazing thing that happened in your life. You didn't feel it. Because flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit. You didn't probably feel that moment. You may have felt really good and you had goosebumps and that was cool. But you didn't understand at that moment what was in your spirit. You have to be born again in order for this to take place. And if you don't understand that now your spirit is new and you think it's your body or your soul, you're going to be really confused. Because if you were a little overweight before you came to Jesus, you're going to be a little overweight after you came to Jesus. Right? Or if you're like ripped and shredded before, you're still going to be ripped and shredded. Okay? If you didn't know math before you came to know Jesus, you're still not going to know math. I wish you did that. That'd be cool. Like, I'll just, you know what I mean? Like, that'd be really cool, but it doesn't happen. It's obvious as we look at it, there's something that's created new, but it's obviously not my body. It's obviously not my soul. It's my spirit. Right? Galatians 4:6 says this, because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out Abba Father. We right now are united with Jesus. It says in the Bible that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God and he constantly is interceding for us on our behalf to God. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how that works, but all I know is he's our advocate. He has united himself with us. So everything that is in Christ that's calling out Abba Father, Daddy God, is now in us. And we have that constantly happening in us, in our spirit, that Jesus is united with us, and he's constantly talking to God, even when we're not. That's weird, right? Like, he's united with us. Romans 8:9 says this, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, which carnal things, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed you have the Spirit of God, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So, again, you have to receive Jesus. You have to. There is no other way. So many people in this world, they think, hey, but here's the deal. I'm a good person, I do good things, I say nice things, I'm trying my best. I don't know who, you know, God is, and I know there's someone out there, but I think if I'm good enough, I'll get to go to heaven. But this is not what this says. For most of you, I'm preaching to the choir, but we got to understand this, right? Because our spirit is the problem. Our spirit needs to be changed, but when we accept Christ, our spirit is made new. In fact, we can't even speak to God until Jesus does this, until we believe in him. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth, right? So if we want to worship God, if we want to serve God, if we want to live for God, we have to have this change, this transformation happen on the inside of us. Your grandpa couldn't have made that decision and it changed you, your mom, your kids, anybody, you have to make that faith belief that Jesus is the Son of God for you to have a new spirit of life. That's the way that it works. It can't get any other way. And God is spirit, so we can only worship him if that's happened to us. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, listen to this, church, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. I want you to hear this. Did you know when you were united with Christ, that was given to you in the Spirit? Righteousness. Say this over yourself. I'm righteous. Say, I'm holy, and I'm redeemed. In your spirit, that's exactly what you are. In fact, when God sees you, that's what he sees. It says this is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. He's become it for us, our righteousness, holiness, our redemption. He has become that when we believed in him. How does this work? How do we begin to realize these things? Because here's the deal. It's one thing to know that it's in our spirit. It's a completely different thing to see what's in our spirit begin to affect our soul and our body. So what are the steps? Let's go through this real quick. One, we need to believe in Jesus, right? That's step number one. Number two is we need to know we have a spirit and it's now new, okay? It's new. And number three is now we've got to know what's in it and how to get what's in here out and affecting our soul and our body. Because we know from what Scripture says that this should naturally be happening. Galatians 5:22 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law." So obviously, if it's saying the fruits of the Spirit, it means that from the Spirit, you can start to see changes in your soul and in your body. We know a part of that is healing. Right? It says that by his stripes we were healed. It's actually a past tense word. Were healed. Okay? It's available to us in the Spirit. And we know that the Spirit can begin to change our soul and our body. So how does this work? It happens as we begin to renew our minds. Romans 12 says this in verse 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So first, he says, hey, I want you to offer your body. I want you to offer yourself to God. Well, how do you do that? He says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." What he's saying here, this word conformed, means to be poured into the mold of. Okay? When we as Christians are stressing out about something, we are allowing the world to pour the mold into our life. We are being formed into the mold of the world. Because Jesus didn't stress. He says, what can stress do to you? Can it add even a day? Can it add anything to your life? No. Jesus didn't stress about stuff. Yeah, there's going to be times that we're going to feel stress. There's going to be times. We're human, right? But he's saying, hey, you don't have to conform yourself to the world. If you're worried about finances, what you're doing is you're conforming to the world. If you're worried about your job and the things that are happening and how many clothes you have and how many cars you have and the size of your house and all these things that we do worry about, we're doing is we're being conformed to the world. And what Paul is saying to the Roman people, he's saying, hey, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That transform, that word is metamorpho, which is metamorphosis. It's like a caterpillar that goes into this metamorphosis period and becomes a butterfly. Well, caterpillar is much like most Christians. We feel like we're on the ground and we're just sliding along and like everything's affecting us and everything wants to eat us and it's horrible, right? But here's the deal. If you want to go through a metamorphosis stage and become someone that can fly above the issues and not have to deal with those kind of things, begin to transform your mind. Transform your mind. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. How does this work? Man, I'm so bitter. I'm so angry. I'm physically, I'm hurting all the time. I constantly have pains. I constantly am dealing with forgiveness, unforgiveness in my heart. Well, here's the deal. What I have to do is I have to start transforming the way that I think and begin to see the spirit part of me as more real than the soul or the body part of me. Because spirit is spirit and the spirit is life. Flesh is flesh and the flesh counts for nothing. That's what the word says. Right? Right. That's good, Austin. Yeah, that's good.
Ephesians 4, 17 through 18 says this. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Saying, so don't think the way the world thinks. Gentiles, just a word, Gentiles and Jews. And the Jew, you know, when they say you're thinking like a Jew here, you're thinking in the way God thinks about things, okay? The Gentiles, they were the carnal people, the people that only thought the way that affected the body and the soul. And so what we have to do as Christians is we've got to begin to see this part of us is way more important. It says they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your what? Minds. And to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This person in you is righteous, is holy. There's so many other verses that say that you are sanctified and justified and redeemed, that you are perfect when it comes to how God looks at you. Perfect. You don't have addiction, okay? You don't have depression. You don't have anything that is of death, right? Spirit is life. The flesh counts for nothing. So when we begin to see this part of us as more real than our soul and our body, what we do is it's like a valve in our soul that begins to be turned. And we see the things of spirit beginning to flow into our soul and into our body. I'll tell you how this worked for me. Once I began to understand this, I began, every time that I would feel those thoughts, right, that I know weren't right, I began to speak what is opposite of the carnal thinking that I was having. Okay? God, I am righteous. Every time that thought would come in that I wanted to get angry or mad, God, I have love in the Spirit. God, I am holy in the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Thank you that you love me, that you care about me, that you've given me holiness, that you've given me righteousness, that I don't have to deal with depression, that I don't have to deal with anger, that I don't have to deal with physical stuff all the time, with allergies, that I don't have to deal with all these things. Why? Because the Spirit says I don't. Not because of the way that I feel, but because of what the Bible says. And we as Christians, if we would begin to live the way the Bible says we should live, instead of the way the world says we should live, we would live a different life altogether. Right? We wouldn't be worried about always trying to get ahead and do things that are going to make us happy. We're going to realize we have joy and happiness because we are one with Christ. Right? You guys understanding this? Yeah, okay. When I get depressed, which I get depressed, okay, it doesn't mean I'm perfect. Okay? It doesn't mean any of us are perfect in this stuff. Like I said, it's going to take a lifetime to learn this. We're not even going to be halfway there. Okay? We make mistakes. We're very imperfect people. We're constantly surrounded by a world that's telling us that this is the most important part of you. Okay? So, what we've got to understand is my soul is the valve that is going to begin to change the things in the Spirit coming into my soul and my body. What does it say? The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I probably got one of those wrong. But that's what it says, right? It says that we have all of that and it's produced. Why is it produced? Because I have begun to, as Paul says, renew my mind. To think about the things that are in the Spirit, and that begins to be a reality in my soul. Stop telling people that your day is horrible and everything's going wrong and finding the negative in everything. Because you're speaking death over yourself. The flesh counts for nothing. Okay? Now, I get it. Don't be a fake person. If you're having a hard day, you can talk about it. But you know what I'm talking about? These people that they try to find the negative in life and they're speaking over. You know those people that are always sick.
always sick, always angry, always dealing with family issues, always going through all this junk. And here's why. Because they're so focused on this part of themselves that this cannot get into that. It can't. Because they haven't renewed their minds. In fact, so many times we renew our minds to think this way instead of this way. Oh, we look at television. Oh man, that car looks really nice. I wish I had that car. We're just building this part of us up, right? Oh man, I wish that my spouse looked like that. Oh wow, I wish that I could go and drink that. I wish, I could go and do that. And we begin to build this up. There's nothing wrong with having a nice house and a nice car. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when we begin to feed this, what happens is this becomes the most important part and this begins to diminish. Okay? Church, are we willing to go back what that verse says? I want to read it one more time. Romans 12, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." What he's saying is, hey, this part of you, would you offer this to God? And say, God, it doesn't matter how I'm feeling or what my body looks like right now. What I'm believing in faith, the valve, I'm turning it to believe that I am healed in the name of Jesus. That I have joy in the name of Jesus. And we're not going to get this perfect, church. So many people will come up to me, and the minute I say stuff like this, they're saying, so no one should ever deal with pain in their life? I'm like, well, that's what God wants for us. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? God wishes that from this life, you're going to die. Yes, the Bible says that. But I guarantee you, God wants us to go through this whole life with no pain, no hurt, and no issues. We go to sleep one day, we wake up, we're in heaven. God, that is what God wants for us. He paid for that. Are we going to get that every time? Probably not. Because we're people, and we're imperfect. Okay? That's just the reality. Don't get mad at me. Okay? Because that's what happens. The minute I begin to say stuff like this, we always have a family member or a friend who is dealing with things and they died. They're sick. They're hurting. And we go, but they love God. Why is their body and their soul, why is it that that's not affected? Why is it that this person that I love so much, why is it that this isn't? What you're saying, Oz, it sounds really good, but why isn't it affecting them? Here's the deal. I don't know. All I know is for me, this is what I'm going to believe. Because that's what the Bible says. And we can't be people that live by emotion and experience that says, oh, well, I'm never going to get healed because so-and-so never got healed. Oh, I'm never going to get happy because so-and-so's just like me. They're just my same personality type, and they deal with depression, so I'm always going to deal with depression. No, get over that. Jesus is life, and he's in you. He's a part of you. He loves you, and he's saying, hey, would you renew your minds? If I were to be honest with you, how many of us are really, every day we wake up, renewing our mind on the things of the Spirit? We're probably renewing our mind the minute I wake up, Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. Right? We renew our minds on this, and then all of a sudden we're sick, and we're going, God, what happened? I'm sick, God. I need the healing now. And God's like, it's there. Renew your mind. Begin to see what's in your spirit. God, I'm depressed. I'm not happy. You haven't spent any time with me in 3 months. Of course you're depressed. You've been speaking death over yourself for the last 3 months. You've been so focused on the flesh that counts for nothing, and you have not spent time in the Spirit. You have not spent time with me. God, I'm dealing with addiction right now. It's plaguing my mind. I'm thinking about thoughts. I want to look at that. I want to drink that. I want to do that. Yeah, because you are not focused on what's in here. This is life. This is death. Oh man, but it feels so good when I drink that. It feels so good. Yeah, it might feel good, but it's death. And if you'll focus on what's in the Spirit and begin to speak that over your life, you're going to see that the things that used to bring you death, all of a sudden you don't care about them anymore. I'm telling you this, church. It took me 20 years to kind of start learning this stuff. And that whole time, I was horribly addicted to so many things that I could never get over. I could never get over. And I'm telling you, what I began to do is once I learned this, I began to say, no, here's the deal. Every time My flesh becomes more important to me. And I sense that. I see that. You're going to see it real fast once you begin to understand this stuff. You're like, no, I'm dealing with these thoughts. I'm dealing with these issues. What's wrong? Oh, I got to go back to Jesus. And you begin to pour yourself into Jesus and see what's in your spirit, speaking that I am holy, I am righteous. I'm not an addict. I am holy. I'm not angry. I have love. And you begin to speak those things into your life. That's what is in our spirit. So it's going to be in there. Right? The spirit is produced in your life as you begin to renew your mind. Open the valve. Romans 8:6, the mind governed by flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. If we would govern our thoughts on the things of God instead of the things of the flesh, we would live a whole different life. Philemon, this is my last verse for today. Philemon 1:4-6 says this, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. It says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. You want to know, church, how to begin to live the life God wants you to live, to begin to live the life not only God wants you to live, but that is changing others around you? It is by acknowledging every good thing that is in you that's in Christ. That's a cool verse, man, because if you're like, hey, why am I not talking to people about Jesus? It's because you're not acknowledging what's in you. I'm not acknowledging the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of life that is in me, that wants to change me. So here's what I want to encourage you guys to do. If you feel anything in your body or your soul that we know is not of God, disease. I like this word disease because dis-ease. Anything that causes you dis-ease is not of God. Okay? Right? So when we experience those things, when I start feeling allergies come into my body, which I do today, I've got like snot dripping down the back of my throat, it's terrible. What I do is I go, no, allergies, in the name of Jesus, you do not have dominion in my life. You do not. Do I still feel it sometimes? Yeah. But you know what? I'm living in a world where it's constantly coming at me. And you've heard me say this before, but I'm not a person with allergies. I'm a healed person fighting off allergies. Okay? Because the spirit is more real than this. And if we'll begin to believe that, no, I'm not a depressed person trying to get happy. I'm a very happy person fighting off depression. Okay? I'm not an addict just trying to get healed from God. No, God has healed my mind. I need to begin to understand that I'm not an addict. I am a righteous, holy person that's just fighting off addiction, temptation. Right? And here's the deal. When you begin to talk about this, always in the back of people's minds, they're like saying, this sounds too good to be true. It's called the gospel. The gospel translates to the too good to be true news. Paul is looking at a bunch of people saying, hey guys, you're living carnally. You're focusing on yourself. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the things that are in the spirit. When you have anything that causes you dis-ease in your life, what you begin to do is you begin to go to Jesus. Because, and this is, I don't have much time left, but this is so important, church. I need you to hear this. Because what we do when we say, I'm an addicted person trying to get healed, or I'm a depressed person trying to be joyful, what we do is this is our prayers. Oh God, I'm so depressed right now. And I need you, God, to heal me. God, I'm so depressed. And what we're doing is we're speaking death over ourselves. What if our prayers look like this? God, thank you. Even though we're dealing with depression right now, God, thank you that I am holy, that you took depression out of my life. God, that I am not a depressed person, that you care about me. God, that I don't deal with allergies anymore. Yeah, I'm dealing with allergies right now, but God, you paid that cost for me. You did this for me. And what we do is we elevate God and what he's done over the flesh, over the carnal things. And so many of us Christians, we're telling God, oh, my finances and my stresses and my things and my day. And God said, you're literally, while you're talking to me, all you're doing is just talking about yourself. Start thanking me for what I've done. Start seeing what I've done. And you're going to see a difference. You ever talk to someone that all they want to do is talk about their junk? How are you doing? Like, you almost say that, like, how you doing? You know, like, they're about to just blast me with a ton of negative things, right? It's exhausting to be around people like that. How do you think God feels? When we come to him, we're like, God, everything's wrong. Fix it. And God's like, I did. Right? I did. Focus on that. Focus on what I've given you. I want to read this verse one more time, that in verse 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. Imagine church if we began to live like that. It's going to be a process. It's called sanctification. It takes a lot of time. We're not going to get this perfect every time. There's going to be times in your life where all of a sudden the flesh you notice is like, it's coming up. I'm depressed. I'm feeling like junk. I'm angry all the time. What do I need to do? Oh yeah, it's easy. I need to go to God. Begin to praise him. Thank him. See him for who he is and what he's done for me. And this is so important, because every time, sin should never drive us from God. Sin should drive us to God. Because we see what he's done, and he's the only way we get out of it. Right? He's done it. He's done it. And when I began to understand this, Kyle and I were talking about this, when I really began to understand, we went upstairs that day, and I was talking to him, and he started getting this, and we're like, man, this is amazing. We went upstairs, and I began to worship God, and I just laughed for like an hour and a half. Just laughed. Why? Because you realize that God is that good. We don't have to, church, be begging God for stuff. We just acknowledge every good thing that is in us in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. God, I pray right now for attitudes, for addictions, for all these things that we know you came to save us from. God, I say in the name of Jesus, those things are defeated in Jesus. That's what your word says, and that's what I pray we would believe. We'd begin to open the valve that says, God, I'm going to believe my spirit is more real than my soul and my body. God, I'm not going to live my life the way that I feel, but I'm going to live my life based on what your word says about me, based on my relationship with you, Father, and based on what your Holy Spirit is speaking to me. God, I pray that every person in here would begin to live in that kind of freedom, that they would live in that kind of life. God, I thank you that you've made this easy and simple. It's you. It's always been you. Thank you for that, Jesus. I pray for anyone in here this morning that's dealing with sickness. In the name of Jesus, we just speak that sickness has to leave their body. Any dis-ease has to leave their body right now. Depression, anything in the soul, depression, anger, bitterness, we just say it has to be gone in the name of Jesus. We thank you for holiness, Father. We thank you for righteousness. We thank you for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. We thank you for these things. We know that they're available to us, Father, and we just praise you for it. We love you. Jesus, thank you for what you've done. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, I love you guys. We'll be up here to pray if you need anything to pray for. But, I encourage you guys to go and live that kind of life this week. Amen? Amen. Amen.